Welcome to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions. I'm your GM, Jesse Burke, and tonight we are going to begin making the rounds from the adventure book of the Warhammer 4th Edition starter set. Across from me, we have Jay.
Hello.
To the right, we have Layla.
Hey, everyone.
And to our left, our friend Chris.
What a strange order you went in. Hello, everybody.
I wanted to keep it like, you know, keep it random. I didn't want to favor Layla or favor you. Didn't want either of you to feel like
that. I think they'd understand.
So, we're starting up a new adventure here with the characters from our prior ones. Let's spend the very beginning here reintroducing who our characters are and if any notable changes have happened to them, you know, since they were first conceived. Not physically conceived.
I was born one day.
I've changed a lot since that day.
I don't think I've... My character, Bernie, the dwarf sleuth, is that's an upgrade from Investigator? Did I upgrade?
It's on here. Let's see. You are...
No.
I think you were just on the cusp.
I am just on the cusp, yeah. But so I don't think much has changed, really. Yeah, my character's pretty much the same as she has been.
All right, cool.
So I'm Dorfin Slain, a high elf. I'm now an outlaw. Everything else stays the same.
All right.
Yeah. Are you? What kind of elf are you?
You're a high elf, right?
A high elf, yeah.
Pointy kind.
The kind with the tall, pointy head.
Yeah, exactly. And an aloof attitude. I am Einar Grossar. I am a spy. Nothing, absolutely nothing has changed. The last time I was here, I was almost eaten by a fish.
So, a big fish.
So things happened. We were off on a lake somewhere. Apparently you guys ate a swamp monster or something. And somehow I survived and made it back to the city with everybody. So
yes. So we will... we can...
Huzzah!
I think you probably turned around after the fish and said, I'm
yeah, this is stupid, guys.
Yeah, well...
you guys figured this one out.
Or maybe you went to go seek swimming lessons in the city.
Perhaps.
All right, so this adventure takes place in Ubersreich. And Ubersreich is going to be effectively home base for a lot of the adventures of this edition. Ubersreich, I've given you kind of some bits and pieces of it in our other adventures. This adventure is going to take place solely inside of Ubersreich, so we'll have a chance to really get familiar with what home base and the culture there looks like and some of the recent political events. So with that, we're just going to jump right in. And this is the intro adventure. Some of this, in certain parts, might feel, especially at the beginning, a little more railroady or potentially simple in the scope of what it's covering as far as rules mechanics go, but it opens up. So the striking fortress town of Ubersreich is situated between the gloomy gray mountains and the depths of the Reichwald Forest. The town guards the Grey Lady Pass through to Bretonnia and is one of the busiest trade centers of the Empire. A mighty dwarf-built bridge that spans the red waters of the River Tufel stands at its center. This impressive crossing connects important trade roads from across the Empire and beyond. However, for all its importance, Ubersreich is in turmoil. Sigismund von Jungfreud, its former duke, was recently stripped of his title by the Emperor for uncertain reasons. Those perceived as too loyal to the old Duke have been removed from office, leaving a power vacuum that's yet to be filled. Soldiers from the distant capital of Altdorf now patrol the town and the surrounding province. This stirs deep resentment from suspicious locals. Nevertheless, life continues unabated, and you find yourselves in Ubersreich's bustling market square on a glorious spring morning, searching for a decent breakfast, unless there's something else you'd rather buy. So just before the game, we handed out, you guys did any shopping you were going to do, so we can kind of fast-track that.
Whoops. Oh, geez.
We'll fast-track the shopping part of this, and we can cover things that you were able to locate, or anything you did buy. Jay, did you purchase anything?
I don't think anybody purchased anything.
Okay, and nope, you didn't have any money, and you were good.
I was contemplating a shield.
Contemplating a shield. Well, that is something that is available. Let me bring up my shopping list here, and we can see what it would take to find a shield for you.
Do you have an octagonal one?
Yeah, do you need certain shapes?
Maybe.
All right. Oh, the shields are under weapons, actually. Okay, so there are three...
round ones.
Less than round is funny.
So there are shields of three sizes.
Uh-huh.
There is a buckler, a full shield, or a large shield. And the main difference between them is the amount of armor you get out of them, 1, 2, or 3 points, and their cost.
I want 3 points of armor.
So the large shield costs 3 gold crowns.
That's more than I have.
A regular shield, the middle size, is 2 gold crowns.
I have gold crowns. Oh, I see. I wrote that wrong, but yeah, I have 2.
Okay. Then you can easily purchase that. That's commonly available.
I will purchase that.
So let me give you a couple stats here. It's going to go in your weapons section.
Okay. Who am I buying it from? Am I buying it from anybody cool?
You are buying it from Gutrid von Happenstance. He's a peddler of goods for a local arms merchant.
What's he like?
Hold on, can I give you the stats first?
Yeah.
Let's get the business out of the way. I have somebody already lined up for you to talk with right after this. So.
All right. What's the group? Basic?
The group is basic. Your basic shield. Your basic.
Okay.
Can you read off the columns for me?
ENC.
Your encumbrance is 1.
Uh-huh. Range.
Range is very short.
Damage.
Damage is strength bonus +2.
Okay. And then qualities?
Yeah, there's a couple. So shield 2.
Uh-huh.
Defensive and undamaging.
So I can't do damage with it?
Not quite. There's just a... in effect, you can use it as an improvised weapon and punch people and whatnot with it, but it does a little less than normal damage.
What does shield 2 mean?
Shield 2 means anytime you defend yourself with that shield, you gain an additional 2 armor points to every location. But back to what I was saying earlier, if you're holding your shield and you're offhand and you choose that to be your defensive weapon, it's at -20 because you're offhand. But it does confer a lot of bonuses.
Oh, so I can write shield 2 here?
Yes.
Oh.
And so while you're using that shield as your active defense, you get to add the shield to every armor location on your body.
Cool.
The other piece, undamaging, means anytime you hurt somebody with it, they get to double the amount of armor they have in whatever location you hit. And if it neutrals out, it can be 0 damage. But you're not going to be hurting people with your shield too often. That's more of a last resort. Okay.
You get one more perk. If your shield rating is 2 or higher, you can also oppose missile shots if you have line of sight to the person shooting at you.
Oh, wonderful.
Oppose missile shots. Okay.
So you can block anybody shooting arrows at you. Otherwise, that's not an option. Okay, so you find yourself in the Marktplatz. That is the market square of Ubersreich. And it is overflowing when you get there with people. It is tightly packed, and brightly colored stalls lie to all sides as merchants hawk their wares to the thronging crowds. You notice the ever-present Altdorf soldiers wearing their blue and red livery who watch on amongst the crowds. There's an aroma of smoked meats, fresh-baked bread, and buttery ale that fill the air. In the center of the marketplace is an imposing statue of Magnus the Pious, the former emperor from the past. Like I said, he's at the center. And there's music playing, and at the edge of the market, there's a mixture of cheers as musicians and entertainers are playing with the masses. What you can see there is this built-up stage on one end of the plaza that has these performers, musicians, tumblers, and a crowd is amassed around them, and that seems to be adding to the typical swelling of the crowd today. As Ubersreich locals, which I know, Bernie, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or is anybody else here could be considered a local at this point?
Hold on. Where was I born?
Jay, you kind of depends if you're a wanderer or if you kind of if this is home no, base for from... you.
No, in fact, I am. I in fact have a drinking group in Ubersreich.
All right.
Nice.
Do you meet every Wednesday?
Pretty much.
I like it.
So those of you who
like Glockenspiel.
Those of you who are locals recognize this this band of entertainers because they come through Ubersreich periodically every month or two as they travel around the region. They're Betsy Wooster's Wondrous Cavalcade. They have some famous actors and like and some of the children really enjoy a few of the entertainers and so they are in full swing. You've seen the show before; it's very enjoyable. And the music is familiar. They're going through one of their tunes that you've heard many times. So the close press of people and the distant sounds of cheering and clapping from the entertainers really make this feel like a familiar weekend day. Market day happens every week. It's equivalent to kind of like a Sunday every week. It'll be market day. And meandering through the busy market also provides an opportunity for you guys to peruse your goods. And Bernie, you locate your shield along the way. You know, Doran Finn, you've been keeping your eye out for an elven bow, but it's eluded you at this point. You know, elven wares are not something that regularly show up in town, but it is something.
One day!
One day, you know, maybe you'll find one day. And Einar, of course, your pockets are empty, so you look at things, but it, yeah. But one thing does catch all of your eyes as you're perusing the market square. A particularly fascinating stall selling somewhat unusual goods.
I need my little pile of stuff.
I came with pictures today.
Ooh. Pictures?
Ooh.
So here is Hesky Glazer, the merchant. You can pass her around or put her out there for the common good. Hesky's Dragon Glass, one brightly colored stand, stands out in the heaving marketplace. Near the middle of the hustle and bustle, a striped tarpaulin stands a glass maker's stall. What?
Oh, Hesky? She has different colored eyes.
Yeah, the different colored eyes. Yeah.
She's like an Aussie shepherd.
Under the awning, spinning glass sculptures reflect light in all directions, catching the eye. Drinking goblets with twin-tailed comets cunningly worked into their depths stand on freestanding shelves. Between these, fanciful sculptures of monsters, fairies, knights, and dragons prowl. This is Hesky's Dragon Glass, and it doesn't take an evaluate test to instantly recognize that the works on display here are those of a master artisan. So Hesky Glazer herself, you heard of her, her name is well known amongst the town, sits amidst the vibrant glass wonders. She is a statuesque woman in her 40s with silver-streaked blonde hair. Her eyes are different colors. One is bright blue, and the other, clearly made of glass, is amber-shot through with emerald swirls. Mm. Hesky calls over to you as you walk by, beckoning you over. Says, "I know they look real, but they won't bite." And she introduces herself again to you. You've met her before in passing, but you know, out of common courtesy, she says hi, and she points out her wares, noting that these glass here, stronger than steel. Perhaps you're in the market for one today.
So are they just decorative?
Well, they are more than decorative. They're pieces of art. I mean, she points you over to one here that has a dragon's tail that swirls around the goblet.
I mean, I consider one for my office in town. How much do they go for?
Well, she points out these glittering ornaments here. These are 4 shillings a piece.
4 shillings
silvers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's not those that I'm most known for. You see, these intricate goblets here, these are the ones that are my specialty. 8 shillings for those.
Okay.
Suitable for a noble.
Oh. I'll closely observe them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She enjoys watching her work get
I'll buy
appreciated.
One.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to buy?
I mean, what's the coolest thing she has?
Oh, well, she says, what are you into? What, she says she has some favorites, but, you know, for a dwarf. And she actually says, you know, did you know My work here is actually prized amongst the dwarven communities. You might be surprised to know that a lot of the glass in all of the lanterns in the dwarven district are in fact my glass.
Oh.
That's an uncommon uncommon accolade for a human amongst the dwarven community.
Right, that tells me that this is made with some amount of quality.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know, I'll take some cool dragon thing.
All right, well, she says, well, dragons, if that's what you're into, she shows you one. It's glass, of course, but it has a metal base and a dragon curled around it, and its wings and tail kind of create a framework around the rest of the goblet. It's really mm-hmm. impressive. It has these glass beads for the eyes and shiny
yeah.
bits. It's beautiful in the sun.
Sure. I'll take one.
She says, well, that's eight shillings.
All right.
And she seems pleased. I see you can appreciate the arts. A simple haggle is a.
I am local. Do you offer any local discounts?
Oh, or did you? Is my work not worth the full 8 shillings to you?
No, it is. But I figure, you know, we see each other daily, and you know, like I could display this in my office, and.
And you guys talk a little bit of business. Uh-huh. You remind her of your stay yeah. in the city and your job.
If ever I can do you a favor, feel free to call.
Let's
me.
Go. Let's do an opposed haggle check.
Okay.
So haggle is a basic skill.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so you're gonna determine your success levels compared to mine, almost like it was a combat. Higher success levels wins.
I have 1 success.
She comes out with 0.
Which is amazing, because I have a fellowship of 24.
you know, she actually finds herself a little bit dumbfounded, as haggling is something she prizes herself on uh-huh. on being good at. And you must have struck a chord with your story, because she says, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you for 7.
No, all right, I'll take it for 7.
So you take the glass.
What is it called?
I could have got it for 5.
you can call it a Hesky Glazer goblet, and it is considered of a fine piece of work. She thanks you for your business. Now, can everybody in the group make a simple perception test?
Mm-hmm.
Simple means just success or failure. I don't need to know to what degree you succeed.
Nope.
No. This represents, in general, how much you are paying attention to your surroundings while perusing the market square.
Apparently none of us
are paying attention.
I was watching them haggle. Just yeah.
I'm fairly entranced by the glass that I just bought.
So this represents how much you're paying attention to your surroundings as a fight nearby breaks out. Those who succeed don't get
nobody.
To hear this part. But those who fail gain the surprised condition as you are swept up in a confusing melee amongst the crowd. So the surprise condition we haven't done yet. It's a pretty straightforward mechanic. If you ambush your opponent, they have the surprise condition. If you are otherwise unaware that combat's about to start and it happens, you get the surprise condition. Surprise condition is really simple. You more or less just don't get to do anything for turn 1. As you kind of compose yourself, and then beginning turn 2, you get to move on. There's a couple other nuances in it that aren't appropriate here, so we won't go over them. So, you are all surprised. So, as you're perusing the glass, admiring it, a riot begins. You didn't get to see why or how, but suddenly, everything is bedlam. You get to see part of how it starts here. It started with a troop of traveling entertainers dressed in bright clothes, and various townsfolk seemingly displeased with their latest performance. The fray quickly spreads, pulling in all nearby, including you guys, who are swiftly surrounded by furious folk and their flailing fists. So, as soldiers in the Altdorf livery attempt to restore order from the edges, the disorder swiftly becomes a riot, as the soldiers are pounded on by the angry folk from both sides. Some cries for Altdorf scum, and others, Jungfrau bootlickers, are audible above the din. So I just want to drive those two home. The the Jungfreuds are the people who used to be in power and were kicked out. Mm-hmm. Altdorf would be the emperor. So there's this power dynamic between Jungfreuds and the Altdorf soldiers.
So you said somebody's beating on the soldiers, or the soldiers are the ones?
Some of these soldiers are getting mixed into the melee. And we're talking like probably over 100 people kind of pushing and shoving around at this point.
That's a flaw, right?
Yeah, like this is... not everybody is throwing punches, but there's enough people pissed off, pushing, shoving. Oh, you stepped on my toe. Boom. You know, just it kind of turns into this mess of nobody knows who started what at this point, mm-hmm. but you're involved in it now no matter what you're doing.
Right in the middle of the mosh pit.
Let's see. The brightly painted wagons on the side of the market beside the raised wooden stage read Betsy Wooster's Wondrous Cavalcade. That seems to be where everything is erupting from, but the specific event that caused it is hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
So, we are going to enter some combat here. Round one, the Brawling Horde.
Was the source of combat
the Brawling Horde is who you guys will be fighting. Hesky quickly, with some kind of little ingenious contraption, like knocks off a peg on the side of her tent, and the front of her stand kind of folds and collapses forward to protect all the glass. As she quickly begins like tying up knots and things to kind of secure her stand, she wants no part of this. So the heaving mob of fist flailing bystanders seems mostly unarmed and relatively ineffective, though. No weapons have been drawn. Everybody's punching, kicking, grappling. And what we're going to do is each of you are going to be fighting one representative of the unruly mob. So what we're going to do is do initiative order here. And that's going to be where we start. Let me pop out my pen. So you guys have an initiative as one of your characteristics up at the top. Can you guys read me who has the highest?
I have 50.
I'm pretty sure Jay is the highest.
30
for Chris.
33.
Okay, so Bernie.
Is the I for initiative or the INT?
Mm-hmm. No, that's intelligence.
Oh, then just 30.
30. Okay, then actually you guys all tie. What's your agility, Bernie?
20.
Chris?
I'm sorry, what was the stat?
Agility.
36.
Agility breaks ties. Okay, so we've got Jay, then we've got Chris... Then we've got Brawling Horde, and then we've got Barney. All right. Jay, you are confronted by several human peasants, of which you don't hold in high regard, milling about you, pushing and shoving. Every time or the other, like, they're fighting, whatnot, and then they look up and actually see an elf standing in front of them, and they're kind of, like, gobsmacked for a moment. And then somebody pushes them, and they collapse into you, and then... the fight kind of continues, and it's not that kind of that keeps kind of repeating itself as people aren't expecting to see an elf standing in front of them. But okay. How do you react?
I'm gonna punch someone back.
All right, you wind up a fist and kapow.
On melee.
So you're gonna do a melee basic attack,
or not?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I failed by two.
All right, remember we're looking for any doubles because that does fun stuff. All right, so they roll an 06, which is a positive 3. So you miss their attack. They dodge out of the way. You seem to be fighting somebody who knows what he's doing. Chris.
Einar. I opt for fleeing.
All right, so you are going to attempt to escape the horde, or the pressing mass.
Yep.
The way you'll do that is you are going to make a dodge check.
I'm not. I'm actually going to flee, which gives them a free shot at me. I'll take one shot and just get away for sure.
That sounds fine. So I'm going to put a mark here saying that you have begun to try and extricate yourself from that position. They do another an 05. They hit you.
Okay.
They hit you with their fists.
Yep.
So that's going to be 3 damage with the success. So you're looking at 6 damage, but because they're hitting you with their fists, this is going to be 6. But you get to double your armor because I think fists count as unarmored or undamaging.
So okay, I'll double. Can you
give me the location die? Oh, double zero. Okay,
a double zero.
Uh-oh.
And then subtract my toughness, so I take 3, and I leave.
Okay, dude, so now really it's not going to count as leaving. The crowd is large enough that leaving combat is not entirely possible.
I'm just not engaged.
With one action.
Right.
Well, you are perpetually engaged while inside the mob, but you are, because the people are just so close. And if it's not one person, it's just going to be this next guy over here. But you have begun to work your way towards the edge of the throng. The brawling horde is going to attempt to attack. They'll attack Jay first. So Jay will do an opposed melee check here.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
Success by two.
They also rolled a 99, which is a fumble and a fail. So let me get that one out, because that'll be the first time we've done that.
Wait, do I not get to go?
They haven't attacked you yet. You go actually after the brawling horde.
Oh. Okay, then.
Critical tables. Wrath of the gods. Did I go too far? I want the fumble table. Let's see. Casting. Jay, you can borrow that. Yeah, the fumble table. Or actually, I should have it right here. I should have it here on my... Sorry, team.
I don't need that because I have to switch my maneuver. I can't see. Flee.
Encumbrance. Hits. Skills. Locks. Leadership. Yeah, screw it. Where is it? Oh, criticals and fumbles. Here we go. So if you fumble, roll a d100. And the mob hurts itself, suffering one wound. So the mob has...
They turned around and punched themselves in the face.
Pretty much, yeah. This next one is going to attack you, Bernie. And you now get to choose how you want to defend yourself.
I'm going to take my shield out.
Okay, so it's going to be a melee basic, but at minus 20 because of your...
I'm going to actually use it on my right hand.
Ah, there we go.
And protect my goblet with my left hand.
All right, so that means no penalties, but you also have an added 2 to your armor.
So what do I roll?
So it's going to be an opposed melee basic.
Okay. Oh, okay, opposed melee.
You're looking for the number of success levels.
What did you say? I don't get the minus 20, but then you said something else?
No, that's it. You get straight up. Is that a 0-0? Or is that a...
No, that's a 6.
Okay, they scored a minus 6.
Or it's a 9.
It's a 6.
Depends if the 0 goes...
9. 0-9. I'm at minus 2.
Minus 2 is better. You managed to dodge their attack without effect.
Okay, and in general, is it my turn now?
They have one last one. The last one is going to... A new combatant comes up and tries to grapple you, Einar, as you're fleeing through the crowd. Unless you roll horribly here, he rolled an 87. They're minus 5.
I'm going to dodge. So I suck also, but I may not have sucked as bad.
And that's all anybody can really ask.
That's right. Nope. I managed to suck so bad that I'm at minus 6.
Ooh.
Oh, you're at minus 6.
Yeah.
They do manage to hit you with for 4 damage. In the body.
Sure.
All right. Punch. All right. So that is Bernie's turn.
Using my shield, I'm just going to try to like shove my way out of the... crowd.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna... Okay, so that's gonna be a dodge roll for you.
Okay.
Which is a basic skill on the left-hand column.
Oh, okay.
If you succeed, you will begin to move yourself away from the center of the crowd.
Can it be something other than dodge?
Is that something the dwarf isn't good at?
Well, I'm not really, like... I'm, like, shoving through, right? I'm not really dodging. I'm, like, moving people.
It actually says in the book, a dodge roll is what's required. You're not... It's wrapping up the concept of you trying to maneuver yourself with your body out of the... Ooh,
I did it!
Nice.
I did it!
You duck and weave. You use
my agility is 20.
You use your shortness to an advantage.
Well,
here.
That's doubles, isn't it?
No, that's only occurs on an attack roll. The
fumble. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I success one.
All right. So you make it. You see people punching and fighting above you as you kind of work your way underneath.
Uh-huh.
And you find yourself working your way out of the crowd, though there's a lot of people and it's going to take a little bit of time.
I want to head towards my office.
Okay.
Because I want to put my goblet away.
Okay, that's in the direction of the stage. as you work your way in that direction through one of the exits on either side of the stage.
How convenient for you.
let's see. So as round two begins, Jay, you're at the top of the round. Ooh. A nearby merchant's cart full of pies is utterly smashed and its content spills across the street where you are fighting and maneuvering yourselves, turning a portion of the market plots into a slick sea of of crust and berries and meats. Pie-smeared cobblestones is going to act as difficult terrain, so you're everybody everywhere in the combat doing anything physical is at minus 10 to anything you're doing. However, a few of the brightly colored cavalcade acrobats have no trouble flipping about the muck and punching folks as they tumble past. Two characters who are going to be 60 and Hundy. So the two of you who are attempting to flee the combat or move out of it as you work your way towards this stage, two of the acrobats from the cavalcade are in your way and begin boxing about and punching you. They don't.
Why?
You are part of the mob and they don't recognize you from anybody else. So the mob is no longer fighting you. You each now instead have one of the acrobats.
All right, well, I'm still using my shield.
All right. Bruised soldiers in red and blue screaming impotently for order. The cavalcade entertainers lashing out in fury. Young Freud supporters with blue and silver armbands throwing punches to the left and the right. The whole thing's a chaotic mess. Jay, you are up first here. Are you punching someone again?
Yeah.
All right, we have a 40. I'm at a minus one.
I'm at success zero. All
yeah. right, so that's plus one damage to your attack. So you're just going to take your straight strength bonus plus that one. That's your how powerful you punch something. So what are we looking at?
Plus one, so that would be five.
Five? All right.
So wait. Yeah.
Five, okay. So you sock one of them in the gut. Oof. Meanwhile, Chris.
I go full defensive. So full defensive. I'm basically adding 20 to my defensive test, my choice of what to use, whether it's melee or acrobatics or dodge. I'm going
to
dodge.
So in lieu of doing an action to attack.
Yeah, this is my action. It's basically fully defending myself. So right. It's plus 20, then there's the minus 10 from your thing. So at least I'm at a net plus 10. Hey, I succeed by 2 degrees.
So you get yourself near to the edge. You suspect one more round of moving yourself out of the crowd would get you up against one of the sides where you could climb up on a stall or like go into an alleyway or something to that effect. The crowd, one of the jugglers, is going to attempt to throw one of his pins at you and bonk you in the head as you're running. So he rolls a minus 3.
Action, choose. Oh, I guess so. So I read that wrong. I don't actually have to roll on my turn. I just declare it on my turn, but then I get plus 20 to all my defensive tests if people attack me.
Yep, exactly. So you're actively defending yourself against this attack.
I still succeeded by one.
So like an equivalent of like a bowling or juggling pin flies past your face and collides with somebody just beyond your shoulder. Meanwhile, another guy doing a handstand begins kind of whacking at you and kicking you with his feet as he tumbles and cartwheels around the plaza.
Jesus, that's a good roll.
That is a good roll.
So, could I have done the defensive thing?
Your turn comes up after his, so...
I know, could I have done it last turn if I had known about it? Because I didn't know about it until now.
Yeah, because you didn't do any action other than defend
yourself,
No,
I'm just
right?
defending myself.
Okay, yeah, then you can say you've done that.
Okay.
So you have plus 20 to your roll.
Okay, and this is a dodge? Or what?
If you're using your shield, it's melee.
So there's one other benefit to the shield that I forgot to mention. It's that middle word. What's the one in the middle? It was like the defensive or
defensive.
Something?
Defensive.
Defensive. If using a shield for defense, you automatically get one success level added to your roll.
Oh.
Just by using
it. You actually don't take minus 20 on your offhand either if you're not attacking with it.
Oh, okay.
If she attacks with the shield, she gets the minus 20 on her offhand, but because it's defensive...
Defending with it isn't?
Right. It's just, you just get what you just said, the plus one success level on defense rolls with your shield equipped. But if you try and, like, bash somebody or whatever, you get...
Minus
20. Okay. Anything with your offhand that you attack with... But
I'm not sure that's correct.
It is.
Yet.
It's because it actually says if you attack with... that's on here somewhere. I'll dig it up for you.
Somewhere else in here under ambidextrous, it was saying that some people choose to use a sword and a shield.
You may use either hand to make an attack. However, attacks made with your secondary hand have a minus 20 penalty to any applicable test.
But those are attacks.
Okay, right. I'm cool with it. I mean, that's fine. I think shields are neat, so.
Yeah, because otherwise it would be like...
Right. That's kind of what I was saying. Like, you know, it's like your shield is your shield. And you just, why do you?
I thought you had to suffer the minus 20.
Yeah, but some people would attack, like, especially if you're trying to like subdue. You didn't like cut somebody. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to do a punch on it or whatever.
And there is such a thing as like pulling your blow if you want to hit somebody, but not actually with the intent to kill. Like, that's totally an option.
Okay, so in this case, I'm just defending myself, so I get plus 20, and then
Like plus 20 compared
and then minus
to my
10
roll.
For the pies.
Ah, good call.
What pies?
the pie cart that exploded.
You said all physical tests had minus 10.
Oh.
So plus 20, minus 10, net plus 10.
And what was the plus 1 you just...
And you get a plus 1 automatic success level.
Oh.
Just for using a shield. Oh. It's kind of your default.
Okay,
benefit.
And so this is still melee.
Yes. Oh, that's a killer roll.
What the hell?
Okay, so I rolled a minus 4. You rolled like a positive 15 or something.
Yeah.
So you're...
I'm plus 20.
So
And an extra success level.
Right.
The acrobat attempts to kind of like bounce around and cartwheel around you and kick you with his feet in fancy ways. You can see he's kind of playing with the combat while doing it at the same time. Like, it's a little bit of entertainment and fun for them. No one's really trying to like hurt someone, but he's definitely participating, and you definitely dodge away from his attacks.
Nice.
Bernie, it is your turn.
I just want to get to my office, so I'm just heading away from the scuffle.
So you can do the same thing again and just declare a full defense, or you can try and like actively...
I'll do a full defense. I just, like, I'm moving and defending.
Yeah. So what's it actually called? Because it's a thing that you can do. It's an actual...
Yeah, I think it's just called full defensive. Where did I go this way? Did I go backwards? I did go backwards. It's called on the defensive. When
As
you want to prepare.
Action, choose a skill to use defensively. Test using that skill until the start of your next turn. Gain plus 20.
Yep. So you're basically, it's any dodge, parry,
or
whatever.
Basic.
Yep.
Okay, so now it turns into a dodge.
You can actually even use language magic to deploy an array of dispels.
So yeah, you can basically have melee basic be plus 20 for defensive purposes until your next turn.
So I'm doing it for dodge because I suck at melee, but it makes more sense for you to do it on melee.
Oh, I can do melee. Because
dodge is based off of
agility. You don't have to roll anything?
No, I know.
Yeah.
You just declare it, and when they attack you, you get the bonus on your defense.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so then that's I'll do.
All right, you attempt to move your way further out. You also, though, you're saying you're going to attempt to move further out of the crowd. So that is a skill check. That's going to be a dodge check to get yourself further out of the crowd.
Mm. But I get plus 20.
Not to this one. This is just a straight up skill check. No one's attacking you. This is just you maneuvering through the people.
The peoples.
No.
Okay, so you make no further progress as you try and push your way through, but you're keeping yourself protected.
Okay.
All right, round three begins. At the beginning of round three, you notice an exceedingly tall man in a long coat is fighting several other townsfolk. Several of his assailants promptly fall over in turn. Three people are fighting him, three people fall down, each clutching their privates. Another blow tears the tall man's coat off, and three halflings in jester garb spill out, one from on top of the other, back onto the ground as the garment ruptures, and then they proceed to run around kicking the downed attackers. Meanwhile, the riot continues. Jay, you are up.
Okay. I'll do a melee attack.
Jay's just gonna lay into this dude.
Success by 3.
But does he look like he's, like, play acting?
Who?
The
cavalcade people?
No, like, the guy, the extra tall guy?
Well, there's three halflings peoples. Stacked up.
Yeah, that's three,
you know, like,
people.
The three halflings, like, in a trench coat, like the chipmunks?
Oh!
Or like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what I was thinking when I saw it, too. That's exactly from DuckTales.
Yeah, exactly. They also roll a positive 3.
You have to do that.
Also a positive.
We're actually hoping DuckTales makes it onto the Disney subscription service.
So that is a non-hit. That's okay. That's a miss. A neutral is a miss. All right, Einar, you are up.
I declare full defense again as I'm just trying to wait for this to blow over.
All right, and you're making a push.
So
for
I don't
the
have
edge?
To. No, I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna like hole up and wait for the chaos to end.
Okay.
I know
because you are one move from the edge of the mass.
I'll try.
Is that a 9?
That is a 9.
Oh,
I'm like, we're going!
A 9-0, let me clarify. Yeah. Okay, so the crowd has pushed you in. You slow a little bit. You're like, maybe I don't need to get out of here. And as the mass kind of like closes in, you're like, that's a good time. Good time to try and push through that. But as you stand and pause for a second, someone comes out for a pop.
Oh, man.
They have a 1 success level.
1.
Oh.
So that's a 99.
Minus 10, though, remember, so you're... It's a,
well, it'd be so one. I'm... My skill is net plus 10, because of the plus 20 minus 10.
Okay.
So I have a 46, so I failed by 5.
Failed by 5. They
succeed and rolled doubles.
One. And you rolled doubles with a failure, so that's a fumble. So you said 5.
I defend you!
So, 6. So you stop and kind of survey around, and when you turn around, your face is met with someone's fist.
You practically hit yourself.
So you take 9 points of damage from an unprepared clock to the head.
Aww.
You get punched in the head, right in the face. Clobber.
So toughness, I still take 6. And
you fumbled. So you're roll a D100 for me if you would please.
99 again. What are the odds?
Wow.
These dice suck.
You need another pair of dice.
It says you hit one random ally in range using the units rolled. If that's not possible, because you guys I think are a little spread out at this point.
Yeah.
You instead hit yourself.
You can take
and
the
you gain the stunned
too.
Condition. Let me grab the stun condition here.
It doesn't matter. I'm out.
Out, like...
I'm knocked out.
Oh, you're at 0?
Yeah.
Right, at 0 or
yeah,
below
at
0? Okay, so at 0 means you go unconscious.
Yeah, which is probably better.
It's okay. There's conditions for that, too.
It's a good thing you didn't buy any of the goblet glass.
Couldn't afford it'd be broken.
So you are both
stunned... Yeah, shattered.
And...
Oh, yeah? Well, I trumped that with unconscious.
So here's your stunned condition. That probably gets overwritten by the prone condition you also gained. And the...
where's my KTFO?
And your unconscious condition. As you got knocked the fuck
out. That's right.
I don't think that's happened yet. That was cool.
I don't think anybody's been knocked out with
back-to-back 99s.
Yeah.
I feel like you kind of got knocked out by the guy, but you didn't fall over, and then like your fumble kind of like, you know, you knocked yourself out.
Into the pie.
Yeah.
Into the pie.
Oh, man. All right, so this is round 3.
Do you have an unconscious?
So
nope.
Go fish.
The guy standing over you, you don't know it, but he moves on to somebody else and starts fighting.
Oh,
you're down. You're out of the fight. He has no interest in hurting you further. The next one is going... The acrobat is going to continue to battle you, Bernie.
All right, I'm
going
to continue defending myself.
All right, he fails by 2.
Okay, so again, this is melee?
Mm-hmm.
And I still get the plus 20?
You do.
I succeed by 1.
All right, you dodge
actually,
out of the way.
With the plus 2, or the plus 1.
And the shield, an additional plus 1, yeah.
So, by...
You're in
two.
Good shape. You are
yes,
missed.
I'm fine.
And then the brawling horde is still going after you, Dornfin.
Yeah, I failed by 1.
Okay, they failed by a lot more than that. So punches are thrown back and forth. Bernie, it's your turn.
I'll continue defending and still want to try to get out of the crowd.
All right, so go for the agility roll or the dodge roll.
Dodge to get out of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. No. All right. You are closed in. As that round comes to a close, a man covered in elaborate tattoos with flame motifs inhales and breathes a long gout of fire at several of the assailants. One of them catches on fire, And I'm sorry, as we're doing this, here's our... I forgot, I have a picture of the riot, so...
Oh!
There's even the guy, the three halflings in the corner there in the tall man suit.
That's way darker than I was envisioning.
So...
Where are you getting these pictures?
They're in the book.
Oh, are they really?
I just copied them and printed them for the...
Oh,
where
wow.
Does he get these fabulous toys?
Okay, so hold on. This
I appreciate visuals. I'm very, yeah. I'm very visual.
I thought I'd try and lean into that to make it easier. So,
hey, halfling in a trench coat.
That's right.
And then, so this man covered in elaborate tattoos. With these,
right? Me neither.
So this man covered in elaborate tattoos of flame motifs inhales and breathes a long gout of flame at several assailants. One of them even catches fire, and he runs screaming. The grinning fire breather suddenly lurches and falls to the street with a quarrel buried in his throat.
What's a quarrel?
Crossbow bolt.
Everybody can make a simple perception check.
What's simple again?
Simple means I only care about success or failure.
Success by 4.
Fail.
All right, those of you who do succeed, you get a good look at the crossbow wielder. From across the crowd, you notice it. He's in a slightly elevated position. You see a leering human thug, and he distinctly has a single milky eye. Okay. And then he disappears into the crowd as he ducks away. You also see nearby a dwarf on stilts from the cavalcade, dressed in red and yellow motley. He kicks an outdoor soldier with one of his overly large wooden boots as the mob continues to thrust about. And a minstrel sitting on top of a large stall out of the fighting, he continues to play a lively fiddle tune which you characters would recognize as the Flight of the Angry Griffin. It's a popular martial song. All right. Round 5. Jay, you're up.
Okay. Melee attack. Success by 0.
All right. Success by 0. They succeed. And that includes the minus 10 for all the pie slippage,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so they are at minus 1. So okay. You succeed by 1.
Yep.
You punch someone, or there's still this one guy you've been knocking about with.
Oh, you've just been one dude?
It's been... Step back. They've been grappling all over each other. Oh, we haven't done any advantage for a while, but you may have accumulated some at this point.
I lost it.
Suddenly, everybody needs to make an agility check.
I failed.
Agility.
He's going to volunteer it.
Good by 1.
Good by good. 1.
You need to make the simple agility check to stay on your feet as a terrified, large, squealing pig, hurled by one of the cavalcade's strong women, goes charging past, sliding and scrambling along the pie-slicked cobblestones. Anybody who fails gains the prone condition and are promptly covered with muddy pie.
Beat you to it.
Remains an exciting pig slobber.
I think he's already covered in pie, considering he's out.
Of course,
because
you're on the ground.
He's covered in all sorts of stuff.
I beat you guys to it.
Yeah.
All right, so Chris, you were on the ground.
He didn't need the pig.
Are there any conditions about, or any conditions about your condition that we need to know about?
Basically, no, because I'm not going to have any opportunity to heal, so I won't regain consciousness until later. I can spend a resolve point to remove it, but I don't see the point. I'll just get up and get knocked out again. So,
all right, fair
I'll enough. Just stay, keep my point and stay on the ground.
What if you get trampled?
Know when to stay down.
Right. All right, the acrobat then continues to battle Bernie with a positive 1.
I'm still defensive. I have positive 4.
All right, he misses the attack with you. And the last one, Dornfin, he throws a punch at you with a negative 2.
Negative 1.
Alright, so you managed to dodge out of his way. Bernie, you're the last one up on this round.
Still trying to get out. Nope.
Nope. Alright, and you continue to put up your defenses?
Yeah.
Alright. So those of you who manage to keep your feet need to make a simple perception test at minus 10.
Nope.
Mm.
Missed by 4.
Minus 10, that means...
Penalty of 10.
penalty of 10. No, I fail.
Okay. What you notice is off to the side of the crowd, down one of the alleyways, you catch the glint in the sun of metal. Somebody in particular, these three individuals, have pulled daggers out and are approaching a young girl and an elderly woman who appears to maybe be her handler. The young girl seems to be dressed in what you would recognize as finer clothes.
Bernie's having a case of deja vu.
So, that is happening nearby.
So should the elf. We played this before, remember? This was Jeremy's adventure.
This was our intro thing we did at KublaCon. We're doing it formally now because we're going to play through the rest of it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, haven't I defended those women before?
I wanted to get it on the recording, and I wanted that to precede the rest of it, because the rest of it gets really interesting.
Can't we just, because I successfully defended them last time, can we just, like, conflate the two?
All right, so we're
on. So we know who they are, obviously. Uh-huh.
Well, you don't. I mean, let's just pretend that part didn't exist.
Okay.
Here we are.
I gotcha.
Here we are. We've got Einar unconscious on the floor in the pig swill and the pies, ruining whatever outfit he's wearing.
But I'm happy.
Yeah.
But he's happy.
And the two of you notice something is going on down a nearby alleyway, and it does not. Nobody else has pulled weapons up to this point, but this is distinctly daggers drawn.
Well, I'll continue what I've been doing, which is just trying to get out of the friggin' crowd.
So you see Dorinfin nearby. And the two of you can kind of like make eye contact through the masses, and you know, you can maybe.
I'm down here.
That's what I said. Like,
I'm so
shift,
tall, I can see down at you.
It's like as people shift, like the occasional view comes in. It's a new round, so Dorinfin, you're up.
Okay, melee attack.
So what are you just gonna keep punching the guy in front of you?
Why not?
It's fine.
I failed miserably.
You do.
They
jump out of that. Bernie, what are you going
to
do?
I'll keep trying to shoulder my way out. Now I'm going to head towards the glinting metal. All right,
you're jumping your way over there.
Sure, jumping is a...
Or I don't mean jumping.
Is a term.
All right, roll it up. Someone stands in your way.
Is this a dodge?
It'll count
or is
as
it
a dodge.
Melee?
Well, you can do an opposed dodge as somebody's standing in front of you and you're trying to push them out of the way.
Oh, I succeed.
I roll a 99, which is both
those
a fumble.
Those are going around.
I succeed by one.
So you both succeed and topple him over in a fumble on his end.
Does that mean I freaking finally get out of this crowd?
Yeah, we're going to give you some benefits here.
Okay.
As you shield him out of the way. He tries to stop. Boom, you punch him out of the way. He topples over. You tumble over him. And you stand up, shield out, goblet in hand. And you're standing just to the side of three thugs.
Uh-huh.
Approaching this young woman.
Is there a safe spot that I can put my goblet down into?
You are just on the outskirts of the combat, so because you're in like a small alleyway.
Laying on the unconscious guy.
So there's like a crate.
A wooden crate
nearby.
Perfect. Can I just place it in there?
You can place it on the crate's closed up.
Oh.
Like on top of it. Like if the crate were to fall over, like something.
Can
like
I lift at the crate?
Well, how much time are you going to spend setting the goblet down in between?
I mean, like, I just spent 7 silver on this, and I don't want to, like, break it.
There's not a great spot to put it, but there's a spot to put it.
Can I lift the crate? How big is the crate?
Okay, so you're going to, I mean, it's medium size. You
trust in the
it.
Fact that she said it was as strong as steel.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I want to put it underneath the crate.
So you're saying you don't trust her.
Well, also, like, somebody could take it.
That's true.
All right.
I want to put it underneath the crate.
All right, so you bash the side, you open it up. It's filled with straw, and it's got a bunch of other objects in there that somebody was transporting.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, but the straw gives
they come in kilos.
I'll set my goblet down.
All right, so you spend time
as
these thugs approach the girl to make sure the goblet is stored safely before you turn your attention to
I
the
do.
Thugs.
I really, really do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My pet peeve is like in movies and shows. Here's my pet peeve. is like somebody will order food and then start talking through the scene and never touch the food. I hate that. Or some breakable object that you're just like, you know, the character's carrying it around and he's like gone through hell and back and it's like untouched and perfect, like drives me up the wall. So we are going to place the fragile thing away. Now we can carry on.
As long as those boxes don't get damaged, all is well.
That's right.
All right. So the thugs recognize a newcomer, and they are now currently deciding, like, back and forth what to do, though their daggers are still pointed at the individuals. The
I'll take my sword out.
All right. Sword, and you're throwing your shield into your offhand?
Yeah.
All right. Two of the thugs are positioning themselves at you, and the other one has his dagger still held, telling the two women to stay right where you are while we deal with her.
Okay.
We are at top of the roster.
Well,
can I see what she's going on in order to start moving that way?
So and I'll shout for him too.
Okay, so that would require an agility or dodge roll from you to break out of the crowd and make it over there.
Okay.
That'll be your action and your move for the turn.
Okay. Any minuses?
It's minus 10 because of the pies.
I failed by 4.
All right. So you slip about. The crowd doesn't quite part wide enough for you to make through. Top of the round then, or not top, but we're at the two thugs approaching you, Bernie.
Okay.
Let's see, their weapon skill is 40, and they're wielding knives. So they are going
to defeat the entire riot.
So you are no longer in your defensive position because you did other actions that last
time. Okay.
But otherwise, it's a combated... this is going to be a contested weapon skill attack.
Weapons?
For melee, basically.
Melee, oh, okay. I succeed with 1.
They're minus 2 with a fumble. So they fumbled with a 42. 42 means they're out of position and their next round suffers a minus 10 to attack. The other thug also attacking you.
Do I have to roll again?
Yes.
Oh.
Rolls an 08.
Ew.
3, 4. And he gets, for outnumbering you, he gets 2 more. So it's going to be 6.
You get a plus 6? What? What do I get? What are my extras?
Well, actually, it's going to be it'll be plus 5 because the pies are still here.
Oh, and don't you get a minus 10 for something?
Yeah, the pies.
That's the other guy. The other guy next turn. The minus 10 for the pies.
Oh, okay. So I have my shield, but I'm not in defensive, but I get a plus 1 success?
Yep, plus 1 just for using the shield.
Okay, so that means that I'm at plus 3.
Okay, so +5 versus +3, so it's only a net of 2. So you're taking 7 damage.
Minus what?
Minus your toughness bonus and any armor points on your body.
Which also includes your shields, too.
Okay, so my toughness is 34.
So it's 3.
3. And then I get plus 2 with my shield, mm-hmm. So 5.
And then any armor you're wearing on your body.
Okay, which part of my body?
Just your body.
The
your
actual
body
is torso the, or...
Your body's an actual location.
Oh, plus 2.
Okay, so you would soak up 7 points of damage. They only did a total of 7 to you, so that is a minimum of 1. So you take 1 wound.
Oh. Why isn't it 0?
Only the rule said so.
Only an undamaging weapon can be reduced to 0. Like a fist or your shield.
Everything else does a minimum of 1.
Yeah.
No matter how much you soak.
Okay.
That way things can chip away at you even if you're in full plate.
Okay.
All right, that is the Bernie's turn.
Okay, so I'll melee them. I'll attack them.
So you have the one who's out of position next turn, which is the guy who gets the next minus 10 from his fumble, and then you have the other guy who's fresh.
I'll do him because he doesn't get the minus 10.
All right. And you'll suffer a minus 10 for being outnumbered 2-1.
Why? The other guy is, like, somewhere else getting minus 10.
That's already accounted for in his out of position. He has minus 10 from his offensively. The rules say if you're... All right, fine.
If he's nowhere near me, why is he out?
Well, no, I don't know nowhere near you, but out of... It's called out
well,
of
does position. That mean that... Does that mean that when he hit me, we can take away one of the points for being outnumbered 2?
No, those would have been in his favor.
Why?
Oh, well, it's still a minimum of 1, so it didn't matter.
Oh, even though I technically...
Because he beat you by two. So even if we took one of those away, you'd still take at least one.
It was 7-7.
That's how much damage he was doing to you, but the success levels were 2.
Okay. Okay. What are we doing?
I forget.
I'm attacking him.
You're attacking the out-of-position one or the regular one?
The regular one in position.
Oh, boy. That's a bad roll.
Oh, boy. That's a good roll.
All right. So he's at -6.
I'm at +3.
All right. So you have 9 going at him. So what we need now is your weapon damage plus that 9.
And don't forget to take an advantage token.
That's right.
And don't spill your wine.
Okay, so with my sword, it's my strength bonus. I have a 7 written down, so my strength bonus.
Alright, so
7
plus 9.
Hold on. Hold your horse. Yeah, 7. 7 plus 9, so 16 total.
16 damage. His toughness bonus is 3. So that's 13 points of damage being thrown at that poor guy. You skewer him in the... Would you like to roll the location?
I really would. In the upper thigh.
So you hack at him and land a solid blow in his thigh. So much so that it actually...
I chop his foot off.
Not his foot.
His leg.
You put a clean cleave into his leg, severing more of it than you intended. But he goes down and he is dead.
Squirting.
He's dead before he hits the ground.
Wow. Okay. That was an instant bleed out.
You hit some arteries and all sorts of stuff. And he goes down. The other two seeing that turn and run.
That's right.
All right. So,
maybe I'm just like destined to protect this woman and her child. As a round two.
Round of the multiverse.
The woman is immediately grateful, promising that you will not be forgotten before her and her charge disappear into the crowd.
Okay.
Suddenly, a series of deafening staccato cracks echo across the market plots. All eyes turn to a flame-haired woman. Here she is.
It's Andrea Pfeffer.
All eyes turn to this flame-haired woman holding aloft a smoking repeater pistol. The minstrel, surprised, plays a bum note and stops playing. The pig skids by on the pie crusts and mud before ramming into a potter's stall with a squeal, sending clay pots everywhere. I'm going to roll just to see if that was where your crates.
If I roll
a 90 or higher, it's your crate.
Oh!
Nope, it is definitely not your crate.
Oh, jeez.
Soldiers in red and blue of the Altdorf uniforms and watchmen wearing blue and gold heraldry of Ubersreich rush in from all sides. This abruptly brings the riot to an end. The marketplatz is now surrounded by scores of soldiers and watchmen. The woman then speaks, her clear voice echoing across the square. You are all under arrest.
Nice. Girls say, what?
All right.
We're going to jail.
Chris, you're awake now.
Hey!
Awake to find out he's going
free
to jail.
you awake in jail.
Okay. Oh, no pie.
It's not the first time.
Here, give me the riot picture and the glazer back. Let me get a few of these people. Let's see, we're no longer in the riot. We'll clear up that.
Wait a minute. I don't just like go to jail. I would vehemently like try to get out of it with my silver tongue.
You do so. You find that the guard and the watch have just en masse are bringing the entire population of...
I'm an investigator in this city.
They really don't give two craps. They said, orders are orders, sorted out with the judge. And they push you along, and you find yourselves in the prison for the day.
In prison.
So
I'm just undercover.
You are imprisoned beneath the watch barracks in the precinct district of Ubersreich. You spent a crowded night with the other brawlers, all of whom are awaiting their arraignment. All weapons were confiscated with the assurance that they would be returned if sentencing goes well. A series of white-faced mime artists surround you, gesticulating energetically but refuse to talk. These brilliantly garbed clowns have argued for hours silently amongst themselves about the merits of various face paints. There's a delightful halfling girl with a long handmade beard named Gerlindelindelin. She says to call her Jerry, though. And she says, no, I'm not actually a dwarf. Look at the size of my hands. They're far too small. And there's also this old mutant named Henroth, but it's not really a mutant. See, Henroth is a carnival player dressed in a mutant for the play. He is covered in shimmering gold metallic paint that's now flaking off and leaving little trails of glitter behind him. And his right arm is enclosed within this huge, bedraggled tentacle made of felt and leather. And he sits down, and he occasionally you see him like reach his hand in there and pull out a little flask that he drinks from and stuffs it back in. He mumbles to some other people, yeah, superstitious sods, don't even want to touch this thing. Yeah, and anyway, everybody is covered in dry pie and flaking mud. The stench of everything at this point is just making you hungry and a little bit nauseous at the same time.
Yay.
So for hours, various cellmates are taken away in ones and twos. Rumor has it that the legal apparatus of Ubersreich is rapidly throwing fines at anyone who participated in the brawl before letting them go. No one knows who started the brawl. The carnival folk claim it certainly wasn't them. They say it's bad for business. But some blame the Jungfreud supporters, others blame the Altdorfers. The watchmen certainly aren't talking. Most of them even the watchmen at this point, and everybody in here, are all sporting some kind of bruises and resentful glares towards each other. So, late morning, you hear a watchman calling out your names. Einar, Bernie, Dorinfin, you're up. And as you exit the cell, you are immediately clad in manacles. However, the elf, you are offered a couple extenuating courtesies befitting your race and status amongst society. You are not manacled, but you are expected to, you are still followed and surrounded by city watchmen.
Why doesn't he have to be manacled?
I'm special.
Now, you may know, maybe you don't, depending on how integrated your character is with elf culture, which so far is not much, is that the elves, by certain laws amongst different towns, have certain individual rights. And similar to the dwarves, you often have similar rights within the dwarven districts.
So are these guards the normal city guards?
They are. So, good question. Really good question. You notice, since you're paying attention to the guards at this point, these are the city watch.
So
the
I know
city,
them.
The city watch, though, since the Altdorf army has come in, has largely supplanted the existing town watch. And most watchmen you are seeing around these days are not the watchmen who would have been around town and the people you know. They are these foreigners from the capital who are now the new police in town. And they don't know you, and they don't have the same customs, and they don't quite have that friendly, make-it-work attitude.
Okay.
But...
because I do give them the whole spiel. I tell them I'm an investigator in this town. I've been serving this town for years now. You know, like, I know all the guards. They know me.
They nod and say, yeah, tell it to the judge.
And there's been a regime change.
Yeah.
So this, as you exit the cell, you're clad in manacles and find a sizable escort of soldiers awaiting you outside the barracks. You,
I'm
of course,
downright
are
grumpy now, by the way.
A grumpy dwarf. There's also a warrior priest of Sigmar who stands beside the soldiers and growls, if you so much as twitch wrong, I'll cave your skull in. And he hefts up his big two-handed hammer that he carries with him. Now, low-lying fog drifts over the streets and slightly muffles sound as you guys march your way through the precinct district, over the Ubersreich Bridge, and then back down into the market plots from the day before. There you can hear murmurs of a crowd in the distance, and your escort steers towards them and a daunting stone building on the east side of the market and it's the Uber's Reich's Town Hall. So a jeering crowd awaits you, only parting reluctantly as the soldiers and watchmen force them back to create a corridor. The crowd is yelling all sorts of encouragement and accusations. Those are the ones that killed my cow! Jungfruit scum! Yeah, give them what for! Murderers! Served you right! Outdoorfers are here to help us. Oh yeah, best of luck. Go home! 3-1 says that bloody noble gets off with murder. And the other one says, oh, boy, he turned me into a snake. You're led into the once pristine noble's court, from which the House Jungfreud's representatives used to make their rulings. The court's stone walls are still scarred with marks of recent conflict. Bloodstains still show in several places where the Jungfreud supporters were killed. Altdorf liveried soldiers line the walls, and makeshift benches are installed on the upper balconies for spectators. An elaborately robed judge, draped in black and red... here, give me back the cell. We are going to... Judge time! An elaborately robed judge, draped in black and red, wearing a long white wig, sits upon a high dais, peering down. A small pair of spectacles sit upon a long beak-like nose, and he leans forward to study you with evident interest. This is the Right Honorable Judge Meliorete, a hard man, but generally considered fair, at least as far as an Empire judge, that is. So the judge looks at his clerks and says, "Are these the ones accused?" A clerk reads your names.
Where's Einar, our witch hunter to like get us?
Bernie and Doran Finn. One by one, he reads your names, pausing to look up and awaiting your nod or signal that your name is indeed the one called. Satisfied, the clerk nods to the judge. "Very well, read the charges." The clerk clears his throat and then intones, "You stand accused of destruction of private property, disruption of commerce, inciting a riot, contributing to general lawlessness, and murder."
Murder?
The judge looks down at you and asks, "How do you plead?"
"Not guilty."
Now, as you begin to spit that out of your mouth, a voice rings out in the courtroom over as you say it at the same time, and she says, it's a woman's voice, and then she says, "Don't say a word," as she puts her hand up, marching through the courtroom.
Do we get a lawyer? All right.
My barrister.
A black-robed woman in a wig storms into the courtroom. She flashes a smile at you group. Then, slightly breathless, turns to address the judge. "Your pardon, Your Honor, but I need a brief recess to consult with my clients before they say anything they'll regret." The judge looks from the woman back to you and asks, "These, Osana, really?" He snorts and shakes his head before pounding his gavel once. "We shall have a short recess. Hensel, fetch me a pie, preferably one that wasn't involved in the market brawl." And you are pushed off to the side, swiftly escorted into a nearby antechamber. Mm-hmm. One or two of the lingering guards are all but shoved out by the woman, who firmly closes the door behind them before turning to you with a winning smile. "Well, it seems we're in a spot of trouble, eh?" Well, obviously this is a massive understatement. The woman introduces herself as Barrister Osana Windendos.
Do I know her?
But she says, "Just call her Osana." You are familiar with her. By, let's find out. There is a role for that.
Oh.
Actually, and I have a question on this one. I wanted to make sure we do this correctly, because this one I think I've done weird in the past. is it a basic skill for lore? Is lore one of your basic skills?
I don't have it.
No. Mm-hmm. I have dwarven lore as a advanced skill.
Okay.
But lore is not one of the basics.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and do an intelligence. Let's just do a regular intelligence check then for these, and I'll let you know where you land with it.
Do I
all
get
all of us?
Anybody who even thinks they might have a chance, locals would be the appropriate one here.
On which one?
Spy.
Einar.
I'm sorry.
I succeed.
I missed someone your old name. okay, well, in that case, then, since Layla's going to get the most information and presumably she's sharing, this is what you learn. You do remember hearing of Osana. You know that she is a prominent barrister of the Reichland who typically handles and cares for but the wealthiest of merchants. She was partially trained by the cult of Verena, which she shows by having owls stitched into her robes, a favored symbol of Verena, the goddess of justice, law, and knowledge. Now, typically, you know that barristers only represent very wealthy clients. And as you are...
not?
As they are the only lawyers allowed to address the higher appellate courts of the Empire. So, appellate?
Mm-hmm.
Faces. I even looked up how to pronounce that, and I still did it wrong. It's a new daily vocab word. It's like my inside joke at
damn
this point.
Lawyers.
So, she pauses to read over a scroll she claimed from one of the law clerks. She shakes her head as she reads it. Art critics, are we? They're trying to lay the whole of the riot at your feet. It says here you started the brawl, attacked soldiers, nearly ransacked the town, and oh dear, you killed Frostin the Fiery. The children will never forgive you for that one. She pats... The children will never forgive you for that one. And looks around and says, what do we make of this?
So that's not even the person that she really killed then, huh?
No, they have no idea who I killed, so I'm not going to say anything. But I did not do any of those things.
She puts her hand down on yours and pats it gently. And says, of course you didn't, darling, of course. Now, I have somewhat of a reputation for taking on lost causes. But now
why are we being charged with this?
Why? Why is indeed perhaps the not the correct question. Perhaps you might want to know who is charging you of this.
Is it okay. Altdorf?
Well, currently the document says you are being charged by almost everyone. And that's very suspicious in and of itself. In point of fact, I happen to know that one of the witnesses listed here is blind. You've been set up to take a fall, that's clear. So we have to be very careful how we proceed. You have enemies, or maybe friends, in very high places.
I'm just standing there watching all this happen with a black eye and a piece of pie falls off of me. And I'm like, pretty sure I didn't do it.
Yeah, pretty sure he was passed
out
the entire time.
He was lying on the ground the whole time.
So who is levying these charges against us?
Well, I haven't the faintest who is actually orchestrating this. But I do have some plans on how we can maybe rectify this situation.
And what are your plans?
Well, she says, you have little hope of being found innocent if you plead not guilty, as you were involved in the riot. Rather, we will make perhaps a no contest plea, admitting neither guilt nor claiming total innocence, though we will hotly deny killing Faustin. Osana grins at this. Generally, heavy fees and hard labor in the Grey Mountains would be the minimum sentence for such a plea, but I have some sway in the court, and I know there have been requests to support the watch in these trying times, as it is severely depleted. So
what, this is just some ploy to get us to be in the employ of the new politic in town?
On the contrary, I think someone out there is trying to remove you from your position, though I think I can maybe get this into a workable scenario that is far less worse than it could be, and then from there we can get this thing fixed once we buy ourselves the time of not being killed, which would be...
Fantastic, you're hired.
That would be the outcome of your current accusations.
And what?
So they intend to kill us over this.
What interest do you have in us?
That's
a strange question.
Is she, well, what's she going to get? She, is she asking, why am I here representing you?
I can't
you?
Pay
well,
you.
Yeah.
She says, very well, the Karstats care very much about their family, and they remember their friends. Young Jocelyn's mother thanks you with all her heart and my humble services.
Oh. Okay. All
right. So she
That's
says...
the same one you saved, right?
Yeah.
So she says...
we saved her twice now.
And so she says she believes that getting you... removing the death sentence from the table is step one.
Uh-huh.
Step two is figuring out how to get you released permanently.
Okay, I'll trust her.
So you were asking the question, though, why would the Watch want... like, why the Watch?
Yeah.
And she says, well, she laughs heartily and says, have you met our current Watch? It's mostly comprised of the very worst soldiers from Altdorf State Army, aided by idiots and fools. You'll fit right in, given your martial learnings, and should be able to quickly make your mark. Besides, it would help smooth matters in town if we had some folks on the Watch who cared about Ubersreich and the people who actually live here.
Hmm. All right. I'll trust her.
All right. And just for fun, there is the intuition roll if you do want to get a sense of if somebody is being truthful or not. That is something you can always throw out as a request. I'll offer it occasionally just as a reminder, but if you want to be like...
Love and my gift horse.
I'll intuit her, but I'm inclined to trust her.
It's at plus 20 to your roll.
Plus 20 to my roll. What does that mean?
Plus 20 to your skill when making the roll.
Oh, I succeed handily.
All right. You get the sense that the barrister, seems to be honest.
Yeah.
So Osana states to you clearly that you don't have to follow her counsel and can take their chances with the mercy of the court if you wish, though she notes that if you are held responsible for the death of Faustin the Fiery, you will be executed. If you somehow manage to talk your way out of that, not that the court will ever bother to listen to you or give you a chance to explain yourselves, but are still found guilty of the other charges, at the very least you'll be served several years of hard labor in Ubersreich's penal quarries in the foothills of the Great Mountains. Not a nice place. Prisoners there are frequently killed by raiding greenskins before their sentence is fulfilled.
What was the name of the woman and her...
The Karstats.
Karstats.
And Jocelyn Karstat would be presumably the youngest of that. You recognize the Karstat name. That is a prominent noble family in Ubersreich. So Osana suggests that you let her do the talking unless the judge asks you a direct question.
Okay.
Now she points or kind of directs her attention to you, Doran Finn, and as an elf, she notes that you are allowed to address the court if you wish, but that normal provisions for you are somewhat of a legal gray area right now, that the town has no formal ruler. She suggests strongly that you request clemency and offer your services as a trained soldier to the town watch, and it would almost certainly avoid a steeper sentence and would also help the other group member's case.
To offer my services to the watch?
Yeah. Just because of your status in society, right. You were offered to at least talk to the judge. She's giving you the chance to volunteer this as opposed to it being come up organically. It would help the case to land in a spot that she could work with.
Okay. I'm for helping the group. Sure.
So she asks if we've come to a consensus, if she can go out and address the judge.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So she heads out to face judgment. Osana leaves the antechamber briefly to tell the court of your that you are prepared to proceed. She then leads you back into the waiting courtroom. Osana declares to the judge that the party is not directly contesting the charges, but notes that you certainly didn't start the fight. She then claims that the party only acted in self-defense and unquestionably did not kill Faustin the Fiery. To reinforce this, she notes that none of the party members even own a crossbow, the weapon by which the fire breather was killed. At that point, the judge gestures that the elf has a... he says, you have a moment to speak, should you wish.
I Can I whisper, though, in Osana's ear that I saw the person who actually killed the clown guy?
Okay, so she...
Or I saw a hint of him.
She recognizes it and says, save it for later.
Okay.
She's curious, though.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Are you going to speak or let her continue?
I'll let her continue.
All right, so you stay quiet. The judge says, very well. The barrister then gestures forward. You don't need to talk to her. So the judge says, he looks down and looks at the elf since he had his attention on you, and he says, I'm not very familiar with elves, Master Dorinfin. Do your kind always riot when a play goes awry?
No.
And you, Einar, however did someone as innocuous as you get involved in this awful situation? It seems hardly likely you were involved by your own desire.
Certainly not. I gesture to my black eye.
And you, dwarf, you claim not to have killed Faustin, but I've seen a report that says you killed others. What happened?
What does the report say?
He says that's just that. There are deaths appointed to you, and I have several witnesses.
Multiple deaths?
Relate to me the events that occurred.
You say you have multiple deaths attributable to me.
Are my words unclear? This will be the last time I ask. Relate the events of the day.
I don't know what to tell you, Judge, but your docket has been falsified.
You get kicked in the shin by Osana.
I'm an upstanding member of this town. I have aided in investigations for years here in an effort to keep the town safe. And now I'm being treated like a criminal. All I can tell you...
He pulls down his glasses and looks. He's irritated.
All I can tell you is that I made a purchase from a local vendor. I contributed to the economy today, and then suddenly was pushed and pulled every which way, forced to defend myself, saved a noble family, and now I'm here.
I understand that is your recollection of events. That is not the recollection of a variety of witnesses that I have documented here, but I shall make my judgment presently. By the way, did you manage or remember to grab your goblet?
Yeah.
Or is it still in the crate?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Pet peeve number 3 when people leave their stuff behind.
He waves.
And then it magically appears later, like they got it.
So he waves. The judge waves the barrister barrister forward and briefly confers with her quietly. Then finally, he addresses the whole court. It seems fairly unlikely that these gathered here managed to assault the entire market plots on their own. However, we also commend them for not bothering to waste the court's time on frivolous protestations of innocence. Thus, we are inclined to be merciful. After careful review of the evidence and circumstances surrounding this case, it is my view that those who had a hand in disrupting the peace of our fair town shall also have a hand in restoring it. I sentence you all to supervise duty and the watch in order that you may work off your debt to our glorious town of Ubersreich. This duty will commence tomorrow for a period not to exceed 3 years. Failure to carry out your new duties shall be looked at as treason to the Empire and is punishable by death. Verena's name, I so rule. Your case is concluded. Hensel, bring me a glass of the Bordeleau. And he steps up and walks off into his chamber. Osana grins as you and makes a slight bow. 3 years supervised duty is immensely preferable to an immediate noose. Besides, give me time. I may be able to work an alternative to this at a later date. Personally, I'm delighted with the outcome. And she helps gesture you out.
Still alive.
I'm not in jail.
All right. You are indeed freed from jail. Now, I can take Osana, the judge, back here. Alright. With Osana wishing you the best of luck in your new duties, you find yourselves standing near the watch barracks of the precinct district, escorted there by soldiers after the court case. Before she leaves, Osana pauses and regards you. I realize you're feeling unfairly punished, but my lady being Verena, works in mysterious ways. Perhaps you are exactly where you are supposed to be. What you make of this experience is up to you. She notes her office is on the east end of the merchant's quarter, and she said, should you find yourselves in need of my services again, please come call me.
Does she still want to hear about who killed the clown?
Yes, this is a perfect time to talk about that.
So I'll tell her, I only caught a glimpse, but it was somebody with, I think you said, like a milky eye or something.
Did you catch that, or did Jay catch, or did both of you?
I did.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was just her.
Okay, cool. Okay, so she...
super detailed. It was just like a glimpse, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so she says she'll make note of that, and if that proves to be useful in any way, she will let you know. Uh-huh. But otherwise, she says, at some point in the future, feel free and come reach out to me, otherwise I will come find you.
Thank you for your help, I guess.
Yeah, she says, well, we're not finished yet. Okay. I hope. So several watchmen emerge to escort you into the barracks. As they approach, Altdorf halberdiers escorting you clearly recognize the watchmen coming out of the barracks as also Altdorf soldiers who have been converted to watchmen. And the ribbing begins between the Altdorf soldiers and the Altdorf watchmen. And they kind of give each other a hard time about, you don't have anything better to do? Go and get killed by greenskins? And, oh yeah, you liking your new post, Constance? That's cute. But with little ceremony, they haul you inside, clearly sizing you up with uncertain expressions before depositing you, still in your manacles, in front of a door that, with anybody who can read, which I believe is most of you, says, with a big K, Captain. A clear voice emerges from inside. Come in. The red-haired woman.
Pfeffer. Oh, wonderful.
Watch Captain Andrea Pfeffer is awaiting you inside a large office. The captain isn't sitting behind her desk, but instead she's leaning backwards against it as she stands in front of it, facing you. You recognize her as the woman who arrested you the previous day.
Uh-huh. I distinctly remember her.
Everybody can make a dramatic intelligence check.
What's a dramatic?
So dramatic means I care about the success level.
Means you have to throw your hand.
Oh! I fail.
Success by two.
By two, all right.
Intelligence? No.
All right, so Doran Finn, you actually recognize her or have heard about her before. You have heard that she's been the newly appointed captain of the watch since the fall of the Von Jungfreuds. So she is an Altdorfer. And since you got two levels of success, you said?
Mm-hmm.
That she also comes from a long line of soldiers from Middenland, though she arrived with the Altdorf State Army. So she's a relative newcomer to town. This whole political turmoil is very recent. Captain Pfeffer introduces herself and indicates the party should do likewise. She looks to you, Einar.
Okay, and I will introduce myself as Einar Grosser, but also follow up that, just drop it, that I was actually from Altdorf originally, and I'm a member of one of the minor noble families, so I'll throw my family's name in there.
She, let's see, does she recognize it? Sheet 01.
Oh, wow.
She knows, she actually, she's met your father.
Okay.
She's met your father and regards you kindly, though she does question you as to how you ended up in this predicament.
And once again, I'm like,
I was lying on the ground the whole time.
And then she looks and sees it's quite the motley crew we have here. Dorinfin, is it?
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself.
I'm a high elf that's kind of traveling with our group, and I guess we were in the wrong spot at the wrong time yesterday.
So it would seem. And a dwarf. That's uncommon.
Is it?
Well, just... She's like, we don't have many dwarves in the watch at the moment, so this will be this could prove useful.
Well, I also let her know, so she's not like, she's the new watch person.
The new watch captain.
So I tell her again that I have served this city for years now.
Since you have served, you actually know the prior watch captain.
I do.
Or are aware of her.
That at some point, and for certain investigations, I worked closely with the watch and the captain.
Yeah, Lenora Sendener was the prior watch captain and is a...
Look at those ladies go. Girl power.
So, and as she talks to you, she unlocks your manacles one at a time while looking into your eyes, speaking with you.
Mm-hmm.
Once introductions are over, the captain shakes her head, looking somewhat perplexed. We live in strange times. I ask for watchmen, and I get you. You may notice my troop's morale is low, but that's no surprise. They're the worst low-life scum of Altdorf given uniforms, and they think they're too good for this posting and resent every moment of it. Pfeffer pauses as someone knocks on the door, and she calls them in. Ah, right on time. This is Sergeant Rudy. Rudy Klumpenklug.
Klumpenklug.
Klumpenklug. He'll be in charge of you during your time with the watch.
God, is he drunk? Because he looks drunk.
His account of your behavior is what keeps you from being executed for dereliction of duty.
Wonderful.
I suggest you stay in his good graces.
Yeah.
Now, I am not a fool. Do not treat me as one, and we'll get along famously. Do as the sergeant tells you. Do not embarrass the watch. And be wary, for Ubersreich is full of mischief of late. May Ulrich watch over you, Sigmar, and Verena as well. Dismissed.
Do we get to talk to Rudy?
You get to talk to Rudy.
I want to know what Rudy likes.
Alright, so Rudy. Sergeant Rudy Klumpenklug immediately reintroduces himself to you. Call me Rudy. I'm sorry, I need a voice for Rudy. Call me Rudy. It's only Sergeant when others are about, eh? You'll be wanting your gear back, I'm guessing.
Yes, that would be great.
He goes to a nearby closet and returns the party's trappings. Now, we'll sort you out with some watch livery, armbands at the least, if you're wanting to keep your own kit. He gives the party a tour of the barracks, showing them where they can store their gear. He says, you can even sleep here if you like. Now, right, best not to talk too much here. There's ears about that I don't fancy, Now, meet me tonight, just before sundown, at the Raspy Raven out back. And he gestures behind the building. Then we'll have a bit of a chat and sort out your new duties.
All right.
You were asking about what you know about him?
Yeah, what do I know about him? But also, like, I kind of want to get a sense of, like, you know, what's he into? Like, does he go to the bars?
So he kind of says, like, we'll talk tonight. He doesn't want to chat and gossip much here in the barracks.
Okay.
He seems concerned about people who might be listening.
Okay.
But anybody who wants to do a minus 20 gossip check can do a history and see if you know him.
Minus 20?
Or if you've heard anything about him.
Good lord.
Minus 20, I would only get that.
I'd have to roll below a 9. Which I do!
That's
holy crap!
You had a couple rock and rolls.
Oh, nice!
So, I actually get to flip my dice because of gossip, and I still fail by 1.
Oh. I succeed.
So, you learn the sergeant has gone... You've heard his name before. He's actually been around the watch for several decades. So he's one of the original Ubersreichers.
Okay.
One of few who actually, because most of the Ubersreich watch has now been supplanted with Altdorf soldiers. So he's actually a local. Though much of his history, you don't know, you hadn't heard anything.
Okay.
So you are turned loose for the evening with tentative plans to meet Rudy back at the Raspy Raven that evening. Is there anything you guys need to do in between then and the Raspy Raven?
I'm going to go deliver my goblet to my office.
All right, you do so. Your goblet is...
I display it somewhere where I really like it and watch it.
It glistens in the light beautifully.
I admire it.
So that evening at the Raspy Raven, turns out the Raspy Raven is a place you don't frequent. It's kind of like the Watch's general bar out back. It's a small tavern far enough away from the Tufel, which is the main river, to be a bit more respectable of a drinking establishment than most lining the docks. Several large alcoves provide privacy. The air is filled with swirling smoke, and the tap room is barely lit with thin light of a few small wall sconces and individual candles on a few of the tables. Now, Klumpenklug waves you over to him in his alcove that's partially obscured by a curtain and calls for a round of drinks from a barmaid who he knows by name, Ethland. He seems like a rather jovial, positive guy, kind of going about. He knows everybody he meets and sees. He's a regular here, of course. And he asks you all to sit down with him.
Okay.
Yep.
He says, first things first, are we going to be wearing the watch uniforms?
I'll wear it.
All right. So he says, I've got three here, but here's yours. And it has the colors of Ubersreich, which I believe were blue and gold.
Okay.
And he gestures to the other two of you. Will you be wearing the uniforms or armbands?
I'll take an armband.
All
right, so he gives you each a blue and a gold armband to put on. That's kind of the signal that you are a member of the town watch. Now, to business. There's really two Ubersreichs, you see. There's the one you know, the day one, and another one entirely at night. The Jungfreuds did their best to keep the shadows quiet, but the Jungfreuds are gone now, and all sorts of things have stirred up. Folks up and vanishing, moving on elsewhere, or down the Tufel, as we like to say. Meaning not breathing as they go. You get it? Okay. Now, it's our job to look after the shoddy side of Ubersreich. Now, we won't be patrolling up on the hill. The hill is kind of slang for the noble quarter. That's up on a raised hill in town. Oh, no. Not the likes of us. No, it's the docks. It's the docks and the dregs for us. Now, whenever you're in the precinct, though, keep a sharp eye out, too. Be wary of large groups of outdoorfers. They're trouble. Most of my mates from the watch, they're gone now. Or onto the wall with the rest of the loyalists. And onto the wall does not mean, like, manning the walls. That means, like, you've been hung from the walls.
Uh-huh.
That anybody, you guys know this, anybody who openly supported the Jungfreuds has either been openly killed or has fled town.
Wow.
So once the Altdorf came in, it was ousting them completely. So it's publicly inappropriate to be a Jungfreud supporter at this stage.
And what's the general sentiment about Altdorf?
Let me have one sentence here to finish his little speech, and then let's jump right into that. Mm-hmm. Other than me and the captain and a few other trusty sorts, you'll be on your own. I'll patrol with you for a bit, show you your duties and such. So the evening continues, and you guys chatted up and drink for the night. So your question was again?
What the general sentiment towards Altdorf is.
So the sentiment towards Altdorf is the capital, it's the seat of Karl Franz, the emperor, it's the seat of the Colleges of Magic, but those Altdorfers who have come and kind of taken over control of Ubersreich, there's a very tenuous relationship there.
Okay.
The Jungfreuds were the dominant noble family who had for ages kept their thumb on the making sure that the noble class, the gold tier class of the town, remained in power. This is how most of the empire operated. But for unknown reasons, the Altdorf army shows up and forcibly removes the Jungfreuds.
Mm.
They force them out, chase them out of town, put a bunch of them to the sword, and the Altdorf soldiers, many of which are then taken and added to the town watch. So you have this scenario where this armed force, a foreign armed force, has come in and are now enacting the Altdorf version of how a city should be run. So it's like a foreign police department coming in, and they're all still following the law, but the way the law is being handled is just slightly differently. All the local customs aren't respected.
Yeah.
And you have people who don't know anybody, so it's very contentious. And all of that also being said, because the Jungfreuds have been ousted, a new leader for the town is not in place. So the town is kind of in this is in this gray area where certain laws and certain legal avenues are truncated because they're missing the capstone there. So he openly admits things are weird and awkward right now, and we don't really know why. But one thing that is starting to happen, without that oppressive nature of the Jungfreuds maintaining the noble status, all of the merchants and the middle class are starting to become more influential. All those large businesses, the merchants, the guilds, are all the real powerhouses that are floating around now, since the noble families aren't in power. And that puts a lot of pressure on the city to act. You know, they're not performing normally, and that's a thing in the empire called if a town can basically live on its own and govern itself, they call that a freeburg. It's a town that is independently governed, and often the merchants are the powerhouses there instead of nobility. And Ubersreich is on the cusp, maybe, of hitting freeburg status. Maybe that is partly why the emperor has forcibly taken over the town. We don't know. But that's the rumors that are circling about on the political side. So after a pleasant evening...
Hold on.
Yes.
I want to try and turn the evening to my advantage a little bit.
Okay.
So I am a carouser, so I'm going to continue to sort of drink with Rudy and basically just try and turn his opinion of us up a notch.
All right. Are we going to through drinking?
Yep.
We've been doing drinking contests. Are you going to join in the drinking?
Yes, I will join because I've got consume alcohol. I will join in this.
So it's pretty straightforward. You make a consume alcohol test. If you succeed, nothing happens. If you fail, you gain a token. If you gain more tokens than you have toughness, you're passed out. And... feel free to stop whenever you want, but this is meant to be kind of like, this is drinking while jovially, kind of like, you're trying to get a one up and get him to loosen up a bit. And kinda, okay. So everybody, he orders a round of drinks. Rudy, where are your stats?
So I take a token if I don't succeed?
Correct. And if you don't succeed, all your future rolls, I think, are at minus 10.
Oh, God.
So it kind of, it snowballs.
No, I don't, because I have carousing, so I get to flip my dice if it would result in a success, which it does, and then I get an additional level of success. So I got two levels of success.
So each failure, you suffer a minus 10 penalty to just about everything, but it maxes out at minus 30. All right. Okay. So he says, who's ordering the next round?
I'll do it.
All right, so that'll be a shilling from you.
I actually have some cash left.
All right, you order a round of drinks, and it's kind of piss poor beer, but it's all right.
Oh, it's like feet.
See.
All right, Klump has failed two now.
So I still get the plus one. I fail by one, so thank you.
All right, remember, if you fit for each failure, it's an additional minus 10 to you. All right, who's ordering the next round?
I'll do it.
All right, that'll be a silver from you.
A silver?
All right. Klump and Klug, he looks like he takes his alcohol pretty good, but he's looking on the borderline of passing out. And he's not one to usually drink himself into oblivion, but he does get jovial and loose-lipped the longer he talks. And he's having a good time with you guys and tells you a little bit more about being on the watch and the crazy shit you'll see. And he talks about he's seen monsters, he's seen magic, and he starts recounting tales of 20 plus years of being in the town watch.
How does he feel about this regime change?
He deep breaths and sighs, and he's like, you know what, Rudy goes where the town goes, and this is where the town goes.
Hmm.
I used to support the Jungfreuds, now I don't support the influence.
What about Pfeffer?
Pfeffer, she's different. You know, he talks about her. He talks about how she likes to follow the rules more. Uh-huh. It's more politics than it is just like the people.
Mm-hmm.
But he calls people out by name, even just as the conversation. Hey, good to see you too. And he kind of like he goes back to his thing as he recognizes someone. He kind of is like he has to deal with Pfeffer. It's not his preference, but he makes it worth work. He says, admittedly, he's not really sure if she likes him or not.
Is she dangerous?
He says, you definitely don't want her on the bad side. She's fair, though. She's fair.
Okay.
Fair.
Fair.
And he's, like, contemplating another drink.
Okay.
So, does it do anything good for you? Let's see. Da, 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 da.
What are you looking at?
Well, I got 4 levels of success, so I'm just trying to find out if exceedingly...
No. Like, so my notes here that I have for drinking are, if you succeed, success equals no effect. But failure has a variety of cascading effects. There is stinking drunk, which would be the...
Yeah, I see that.
That's the next round. If any, if anybody goes past your toughness bonus, you're stinking drunk. So, Doran Finn, are you ordering the last round?
Sure.
All right. No.
Hey, I'm good.
Clump and Clug is stinking drunk. Is that an 04?
I got another 4 levels of success, and I'm just like, you guys are stupid pansies.
So I have to exceed my toughness, and then I pass out?
Yes.
Or do I reach
as you see,
the dwarf is about to pass out again.
Yeah.
So, but
I do not hold my liquor well.
Apparently not.
Pfeffer is officially stinking drunk now. And he kind of stumbles to his feet.
If you're at your toughness, are you stinking drunk?
It's once you go past you're stinking drunk. Yeah.
After you fail a number of tests equal to your toughness bonus, you are stinking drunk.
Oh, equal to or greater than your toughness bonus.
Okay.
Equal to.
Because then I'm stinking drunk.
Okay,
too.
So you and Pfeffer get... So roll a... We'll roll after he says some things.
Okay.
So he stands up from the table, and he's barely holding himself together, but this kind of seems average for his night, probably. He probably stops around here each night. And he says, get yourself a good night's rest... And meet me tomorrow morning. Let's make that mid-morning. Near the customs house. Okay? There was a time you'd be either day or a night patrol. Not anymore. We'll do a few days, and then we'll figure it out. Okay, I'll see you in the morning. And he... Oops, I only rolled 1, 2. He gains the cool skill. So he basically, like... He kind of postures or recomposes himself, and he looks like he's like holding himself together and walks out the building with confidence. So you can see there's still a little bit of a stagger, but like, you know, that kind of drunk confidence takes over, and he walks out for the night. And meanwhile, stinking drunk dwarf, what happens to you?
Do I get to roll a coolness check?
D10.
This
is your stinking drunk roll.
What do I have?
Just tell me the number. There's no...
It's a 1.
There's a table. You also become... Cool.
Sweet.
You get drunk.
Dwarf's just like...
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. We work our way in towards the finale for tonight. For the... whatever you want to call it. The next day, Clump and Clug guides you along the Tobruk, the river, the river-bound district, more widely known as the docks. So let's grab that map that's right in front of you guys there.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are patrolling both sides of the river inside inside the area.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Docks District. He points out various back alleys and he says, oh yeah, down here not 2 weeks ago I saw some guy stab another man with a fish. And over here some guys beat each other up over someone's wife and whatnot. And there was... some guy always claims this lady over here is stealing stuff, and he just kind of like laying out the general hubbub and common crimes that like you're going to have to deal with as members of the watch. He seems very knowledgeable about the area, not so much the the grand stuff. Like, he's in tune with the individuals and the small groups and areas of the town. And he points out several spots where people were horribly murdered or where somebody went missing. There's also several businesses along the docks, like fishmongers. There are ships coming in and out. There are workers unloading ships and moving them into storage houses. There are people collecting taxes. Like, it's a busy place.
Mm-hmm.
But what doesn't escape you ever is the pervading smell of fish and of the river.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the River Twofold is a little bit odd. It doesn't run clear. It doesn't run green or blue like any other river. This river has a distinct red, like, ochre tint to it.
Hmm.
And it's known that some of the mineral deposits further upstream of the Twofold feed this, like, heavy sediment deposit in the river. So it's a river that can't see through very well. It's very opaque.
Mm.
But, you know, your day goes on, and more days go on in the watch, and this pattern kind of continues, and you settle into this generally repetitious and tedious work of regularly patrolling the docks. Now, on one of your early days, while passing through a small market along the docks during a day patrol, I'd like everybody to make a simple perception check.
Oh yeah, by 5.
Nope.
Missed it by 6.
All right, Doran Finn, you notice a pickpocket cutting a purse, and you have the opportunity to act before the pickpocket slips away into the crowd.
Okay. So what, I attempt to snatch him up?
If that's what you want to do, you're going to
sure.
go tackle him?
Yeah.
You leap in and tackle him? All right.
Yeah.
Let's go for a...
embracing your duties.
All right, so let's go straight.
Always wanted to be a cop.
All right, so that's going to be an athletics check for you.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a dodge roll for the thief. All right, who has more success level?
I failed miserably by 4.
So you leap forward to try and tackle him before he gets a chance to escape, but the thief, having done this before and being a competent pickpocket, jumps to the side and begins to run down an alleyway and kind of meandering his way through individuals and stalls in the crowd. You could give chase, but you're picking yourself up off your feet, and that's where the pickpocketing begins.
Okay.
The rest of you see Doran Finn leap forward and fall to the ground as an individual bolts off to the side.
I'm going to let him deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's far more equipped.
Yeah.
I don't intend to chase him.
Right.
So you take a leap after him and then you let him get away?
You're not going to chase him down?
What about your pride? What about... First of all, you're an elf, right? And you're being forced into servitude to essentially help a bunch of humans, like, carry on their business. Aren't you just, like, a little bit peeved?
A little bit.
All right, so...
How does that manifest in your character? Okay.
He's going to take it out on the perp.
Yeah.
So Clump and Clug sees this and kind of leans forward and looks down the alleyway. And you see him kind of, like, his eyes perk up at a certain recognition. He's like, Hans! Hans! And he kind of points down the alleyway, and some guy, like, looks up and kind of, for some, like, they know what's going on. Somebody gets the idea, and Hans kind of takes this giant sack of flour that he was holding and, like, from a little elevated stairway and a door nearby, drops it onto the thief, knocking him down to the ground, and he falls scattering. And then Clump and Club kind of gathers the three of you and kind of pushes you forward down the alleyway to go retrieve the thief.
Okie doke.
Clump and Club kind of waddles his way up there, and he's just like, oh, well done, Hans, well done. Looks at the three of you shaking his head. Saying that's one of the things we're supposed to help with. Now,
I tried.
He sits down and picks up the. He sees the thief on the ground, who's just, like, still kind of, picks up the sack of coins that the thief had stolen, and reaches his hand in, pulling out what you guess is probably half of whatever was in there, and stuffs it in his pocket and says, that'll be a spot fine, that is. And then meanwhile, the person who had just been robbed finally comes kind of like running up and saying, oh, thank you, thank you. And he says, that's the spot fine for leaving your bag so unguarded. And the person just kind of looks at him and says, all right, and walks away, taking the half-filled coin.
I guess half of it back is better than none of it back.
Well, she would have had none of it if we hadn't caught her. Here, he said, he passes a shilling to each of you and says, from the bag, with a little wink. Oh.
I don't want it.
He says, suit yourself, and he pockets that one back in his coin and says, all right, let's keep going. So at that time, the day goes on more or less uneventfully, but as the late afternoon sets in, you continue to peruse the docks, and the very distinct smell of smoke enters your nostrils over the scent of the fish and the river, and you look up. And not on the street you're on, but one corner around, you can see a plume of billowing smoke is starting to erupt nearby. And you hear the sounds of people screaming out, fire, 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 get help.